Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Turn in your New Testaments to 2 Peter chapter 3. This is the last chapter in our Peter series. Some of us are excited, some of us are kind of sad that it's ending, but we have been in Peter 4 months now, and we've taken our time to read every word that Peter has written in 1 Peter and now in 2 Peter, and this third chapter in 2 Peter is the last chapter. And so we'll take today and look at the first half of this chapter. Before I get into this passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, I want to show you some pictures. We're just going to go through these pictures, and we'll run through them twice. But as I show you these pictures, I want you to think in your mind, what do these pictures have in common with each other? So there's the first one. We've all experienced that, right? It's no fun to have a flat tire. Next picture. You ever come across something like that? That's no fun. Next picture. I think of poor Scarlett, you know. She doesn't want to see that anymore. All right. Next picture. What do these things have in common? Ooh, that's pretty scary. Yeah. Don't want to mess with that. Next picture. Any husband here been yelled at by his wife? Oh, don't start today. Next picture. Next picture. Ooh. I hope that's never happened to any of you. Yeah. All right. Next picture. Ooh. Yikes. I hope you never run into one of those. He does not look happy. Has that ever happened to you? I've come close. But you don't want to run into that. Next picture. He had a little too much to drink. He is passed out. Next picture. Yeah. You don't want to run into number 76 because you'll end up like the guy on the number 6. What do all those pictures have in common? All these pictures have to do with the stopping of momentum. So let's run through them again. Got a flat tire? You're not going to get from point A to point B as quickly as you wanted to, right? Next picture. That's a huge momentum stopper. You're not going to get anywhere with the log right in the middle of the road. Next picture. Scarlett, how easy was it to move around with your leg the way it was? You didn't move as fast as you would have liked to, right? We saw you hobbling around, and that's a momentum stopper. Next picture. Yeah. The devil, demonic forces, that'll stop you right in your tracks. Next picture. Yeah. You hurt someone. You hurt someone. You hurt their feelings. You anger someone. That'll make you stop. Next picture. Yeah, you break the law. Lawlessness will stop you dead in your tracks. Next picture. Yeah. I've come across that, and that'll make you not only stop, but backtrack. You don't want to run into a ferocious dog. Big boulders along the way, momentum stoppers. It will hinder you from getting from point A to point B. Next picture. Feeding the flesh, the desires of the flesh. Getting drunk, getting wasted, getting high, living for yourself, feeding the carnal nature. You're not going to be able to move on if you keep living like that. Next picture. Yeah. Number 76 will stop you dead in your tracks if he gets his arms wrapped around you. That's a good momentum blocker. Micah does a good job on the line. The point is, this series has been intentionally entitled Momentum. Because Peter is writing to Christians and he's writing to the church that God wants to move us forward. God wants to take us from point A to point B. God wants to take us from here to heaven. God wants to take our sinful hearts and fill it with his love. God wants to move us in our journey with him. But Peter also highlights momentum stoppers that hinder us and keep us on the path that God has for us. And so, yes, Peter's writings are very encouraging. His teaching is needed. But one of the things he does is he highlights those areas that we must be aware of that will keep us from growing and moving on with God. He does that interspersed throughout his letters. But in these final two chapters in this last letter, he really turns up the heat and makes us aware of momentum blockers that will hinder us from moving on with God. And so keep that in your mind as we work our way to conclusion in 2 Peter. We talked about last week and in the week before momentum stoppers in the second chapter of 2 Peter, false teachers, false prophets, desires of the flesh, things like that. And he continues in this last chapter of his to help us be aware of these things that will impede our progress with the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, and that's the title for the message this morning, in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget, and that's important right there, they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Lord, these are powerful words. Give us ears and hearts to understand what Peter is conveying to those of us who are walking with you and seeking to be faithful to you. Help us not to be distracted by these momentum breakers that seek to not only stop us in our tracks, but get us to retreat and fall away. Help us to be true to you. And may the warning and the message of Peter resonate with us so that we can continue walking faithfully with Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So Peter writes, and he says this, "I have written these things to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." I don't know about you, but that's very important to me. Because unwholesome thinking is a momentum breaker. If church does anything, and there are many reasons why we gather in church, but one of the reasons why we gather is so that we keep our hearts and our minds focused on the things of God. All week long, we are battling unwholesome thoughts, unwholesome thinking. It's all around us. And Peter is reminding us to keep our minds focused on God. Paul says in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy," what does he say? "Think about these things." We have to stay focused on the Lord. And I know you're probably sick of me saying this, but it's true. We must keep our heart and our mind focused on the things of God. Wholesome thinking. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Think about these things. I'm not a psychologist, but I have a great interest in psychology. And I read a lot of books on the brain and thinking and cognitive function. And one of the common things that I read is that we really do have more control over what we think about than we realize. Our minds, our brain, physiologically, mentally, is a powerful tool that God has given us. If I sit and watch, and I'm just using this example because this is the time of year, if I sit and watch horror movies all month long, because they are on TV, every other channel is, you know, Halloween this, or Friday the 13th this. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, and they're coming up with new ones all the time, and they get scarier and scarier. If that's all I do is consume my mind with darkness and horror, garbage in, garbage out. If all I'm doing is just consuming blood and gore and horror and fright and dread and death and destruction, garbage in, garbage out. And so Peter is encouraging us, keep your minds fixated on the holy things of God. I'm writing to encourage you to wholesome thinking. And I think many problems can be averted if we just keep our hearts and our minds fixed on Jesus and His Word and the truth of His Word. You have more control over your mind than the culture would have you think. You can control what you watch. You can control what you meditate on. You can control what you think about. And Peter's saying, in these last days, think about the things of God. Now, Peter also says that in these last days, there will be scoffers and cynics. What does Peter mean by the last days? As I referenced last Sunday, every generation will deal with their own last days. From the generation of Christ on to the second century, the third century, on now into the 21st century. And so every century that will pass must come to terms with their last days. I mean, if you were living as a Jew in the mid-1940s in Germany or Poland, you were dealing with your last days. And so every generation has had to deal with the horrors of what happens in their generation. And so we are in the days that we're living in. And every day that passes, we are one day closer to our last days. And so Peter wants us to be alert, and he wants us to be aware. But with every generation, as was in Peter's generation, there will be those who are scoffers and cynics. And they're going to say, well, where is Jesus? He said he was going to return. Where is he? Why are all these things happening in the world? Have you met scoffers and cynics who question your faith? Yes, we all have. Some of you live with scoffers and cynics. And it can be easy, if our mind is not alert and attuned to the things of God, it can be easy to get caught up in a lot of that cynicism that is present in the world. Where is your God? Where is Jesus? Why are all these things happening? And on and on and on. And there are those who will begin to question their faith. And there will be those who begin to scratch their head and say, well, I don't know. I don't have any good answers. One of the things that Peter does is he urges us to remember the writings of old, the writings of the prophets and the apostles, and to remember what has been spoken in the past. Because as those promises came to pass, the promises of God will continue to come to fruition. For example, one of the highlights of the people of God was the deliverance of God's people from Egypt. They were in bondage for 400 years in captivity, and generation after generation would be born and die in captivity. And yet God, out of his mercy, delivered the Israelites and brought them to the promised land. And if we remember what God has done in the past, we can hold on to the fact that God is working in the present, and God will bring to fruition in the future what he has promised. And so we must understand that in the last days there will be scoffers, there will be cynics, but they do so that they can indulge their own evil desires. Look at what Peter says here. He says, there are scoffers following their own evil desires. If I can get God out of the picture by being cynical, then I can live any way I want. That's the purpose of these scoffers and cynics. If there is no God who's going to keep his promise, if there is no God who's going to deliver us, then I can just do whatever I want. No judge, no accountability. I can live however I want. And that's exactly what we see happening. Scoffers and cynics question God. They go on and live according to their own evil desires. They say, verse 4, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Verse 5, but they deliberately forget. Powerful words. They have selective memory. They deliberately forget the word of God and what God has done in the past. And if we're not careful, we too can fall into that trap. How often do we forget what God has done for us? We cannot forget that God has been faithful. He is faithful, and he will forever be faithful. That's why Psalm 77, verse 11 is so powerful and so beautiful. Let me read Psalm chapter 77, verse 11. The psalmist says this, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. He's making a note to himself. I'm not going to forget that God has been faithful. I'm not going to forget that God has been good to me. I'm not going to forget the promises of God, because if I forget, I too can easily follow into the stream of cynicism that is so prevalent in the world. So I just want to remind you, another aspect of why church is important, because church stimulates us to wholesome thinking and reminds us of what God has done in the past, what God is doing now, and what God will do. We cannot forget what God has done. We cannot forget the goodness and faithfulness of God. And then Peter does something interesting. He goes back and he makes reference to Noah. Now, he had done that in 2 Peter chapter 2, and then he references Noah and the flood again. Verse 6, by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. This reference to Noah, in the same context as talking about the last days, brings to recollection the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, because Jesus spoke about the days of Noah as well. Matthew 24, I think we'll begin at verse 36. As Jesus talks about the last days, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And you can go on and read the rest of what Jesus talks about in the last days. But this reference to Noah is very appropriate for us today, as it was in the days of Noah. So, let's go back to Genesis chapter 6, and I just want to read a few verses about what it was like in the day of Noah, and make the parallels between what happened back then in the days of Noah with what's happening today. So, Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verses 5 and 6. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil at the time. Verse 6 of Genesis 6. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth. And this part should make us sad. And his heart was filled with pain. Go down to verses 11 and 12. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. Sound familiar? God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. As it was in the days of Noah, all the signs are here in our generation. Corruption, evil, bitterness, anger, hatred, bloodshed, following the desires of evil and the fleshly nature. It's all here before us. And Peter is warning. He's saying, be alert, be on your guard, because all the signs are there. And however pained God's heart may be, he cannot allow it to continue. For God is holy. Verse 7 of 2 Peter chapter 3. By the same word, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. And now he's answering the scoffers and he's answering the cynics. And Peter is revealing the heart of God. He says this: with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So even as the years and the decades go by, God is outside of time. So we look back 2,000 years when Christ walked this earth and we go, that's a long time. But in God's view, as God is outside of time, 2,000 years is nothing, because he is eternal. He knows the beginning and the end. He is the beginning and the end. And so, to answer the scoffers and the cynics, and maybe to answer some of your own skepticism and questions about faith, Peter reveals the heart of God. And he said, God isn't slow in keeping his promises. He will keep his promise. But he's patient with you. God is patient with this world. God doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. God doesn't want anyone to perish. For God so loved the world, we read in the Gospel of John, that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have eternal life. God is patient. And every single one of us in this room ought to be grateful for the patience that God has shown us. Amen? Because his loving kindness and his grace and his mercy has been extended to us for this one singular reason, that we would repent, that we would stop following the ways of the world, stop walking with the world, do a complete turnaround, and start walking with God. That's repentance. And God is delaying this day of the Lord, this day of judgment. He's delaying this. He's being patient with us. Because it pains the heart of God to see anyone living in bondage and in sin and in heartbreak. But He's calling humanity to Himself. He's saying, come home. I don't want you to perish, but I want you to have everlasting life. Whatever the day of the Lord means, I know for us, I want the day of the Lord to mean this for you, that today is the day you come to the Lord, that today is the day you live for Him, that today is the day, as Paul says, now is the day of salvation, that this time, this hour, this moment be the day you take one step closer to God. That you say, God, I'm tired of living the way the world lives. I'm tired of pursuing my own desires. I want to pursue You. I want to take one step closer to You. We all have people in our lives as well who need to hear this message. And our heart breaks for those prodigals who are caught up in the stream of the world. But we're also grateful that God is patient. He is long-suffering, for He does not want anyone to perish, but He wants every single person on this planet to come to Him. And as I close in prayer this morning, I want to pray for you, that all of us will take one step closer to God. Tomorrow we'll take another step closer to God, because there is coming a day when Christ will return. The heavens will open. We will see His majestic beauty, and we will be caught up with Him in the air, as Paul teaches, and we will be reunited with our Savior. And then He will establish a new heavens and a new earth, and Peter will talk about that as he closes out his second letter. There is coming that day when God will make all things right.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.